Sri Vishnu Sahasranama name 845 Maha. I'll start again. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama name 845 Mahan. So it's an easily understandable word. The word Maha is still very commonly used in Indian languages. For instance, we have the important state of Maharashtra, which literally means great state. Maha means great, or pujayam. It means to honor, to delight, to increase. Therefore, Mahan means one who is worthy of worship. That's the literal meaning, but the general connotation is one of greatness. So in that way, it's similar to the name Brihat, which we've just had, which means big, Shrestha, which means the best, a name which is upcoming, Urdhvaga, who goes up, means above all others. Parashara Bhatta explains this to mean, he who is supreme in everything, in every respect. Everything he does the best of all. And he's best in everything. Parama Prakashat Mahan. Parashara Bhatta gives the example that he can enter the earth and come out of it just as he wants, just as we can very easily enter a still body of water and come out of it. The water doesn't present any obstacle to us. Parashara Bhatta explains this name Mahan to synchronize with the siddhi, the yogic siddhi of prakamyam, the irresistible will. You can just do whatever you like or achieve whatever you desires, whatever you desire. Sri Radha Krishna Shastri, a sub-commentator on Parashara Bhatta, he says that this prakamyam means the ability to enter others' minds, to make them forget things, and then again they can remember things. Parashara Bhatta quotes a verse in this regard. Samprayoja viyojayam kamakaraka. Samprayoja. Samprayoja viyojayam kama karakara prabhuhu yad yad ichet ayam shauri tat tat kuryat ayatnataha. The powerful Lord, Prabhu, he means the powerful Lord, Shauri, the name of Krishna, acts as he desires. He brings things together, and separates them just as he likes, according to his own sweet will. Whatever he chooses to do, he can do it without any particular effort. Shankaracharya explains this name in terms of he's Mahan, great. So Shankaracharya explains in terms of the impossibility of fitting him into a description, even for the sake of discussion. Tarkatopi yato vaktum nashakyam, which means that this is what Shankara says, that sound and other attributes have no reference to him because he's so immeasurably subtle, he's so pure, he's all-pervading. Anything in the nature of an obstacle to his greatness cannot even be raised, the possibility of it can't be raised. So this is the usual Mayavadi idea that, well, words are completely impossible to describe the Supreme Truth. But that's not exactly true, because all the Vedas describe him. it's the idea that the personal God who's described is not the highest. The highest is something which is beyond words. But we as Vaishnavas, of course, do not accept this. Arjuna didn't accept this. We find in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna exulting at the greatness of Krishna, which he's realizing. Navidu devadanavaha. He says to Krishna, neither the gods nor the demons can know you in your personality. You alone know yourself by yourself, by your own potencies. Arjuna then requests Krishna to tell him in detail of his divine powers, his Aishvarya, his opulence, his vibhutis, his the aspects of this world which are extraordinary, by which we can understand them to be indicators of Krishna's greatness. Krishna tells Arjuna, yes, Arjuna, I'll tell you of my splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, because Krishna says, my opulence is limitless. Krishna then says, Ahamatma Gura Kesha Sarvabhuta Shayastitaha. I am the Self, Krishna says, situated in the hearts of all living beings. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end of all creatures, of everything that exists. And then he goes on to explain in so many ways that Aksharanam Akarosmi, among letters, he is the first letter. Praladas Chasmi Daityanam, among the sons of Diti, the descendants of Diti, I am Pralad. So in this way, those who know the Gita know the 10th chapter. He goes on mentioning different demigods and great personalities. Vainateyas Chapakshinam, I am Vainata, the son of Vinata, namely Garuda. Among the birds, Rama Shastrapitamaham, I am Rama among the bearers of weapons, various phenomena, Stavaranam Himalayaha, among immovable objects, I am the Himalayas. Shotasam Asmi Janavi, among the moving waters, namely rivers, here's the Ganga. Pavanam Pavatam Asmi, he is wind, he is fire, he is time, he is the spiritual science of the Self. He is flower-bearing spring. All splendor, victory, adventure, the generating seed of all existence, the rod of chastisement, the power of statesmanship, silence, wisdom, the ocean, the thunderbolt, the monarch among men, the greatest of elephants, Airavatam Gajendranam, among the snakes and other animals, Mrigendram Cha. Mriganam Cha Mrigendroham. He is the lion among the animals. And then, after giving a list, he says, well, you know, Arjuna, you're a great conqueror of enemies. You've conquered so many enemies. You've seen so many things. You've been to the heavenly worlds. You've fought with Lord Shiva. You've seen so many things. But you know, Arjuna, there's no end to my divine opulences. What I've told you just now, it's just a little indication. My opulences are infinite. Everything, yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, whatever in existence is glorious, mighty, powerful, splendorous, extraordinary. It comes from a little spark. Mama tejongsha sambhavam. It appears from a little spark of my majesty. Madhvacharya. Jnana anandadi sarva guna paripurnatvat mahan. Or coming in the Madhva Sampradaya. Jnana, knowledge. Ananda, bliss. Adi, sarva guna, all qualities. Paripurnatvam, in fullness. This is the meaning of Mahan. This Sukshmam Pramana Tascha Tatopalabdhe. This is from the Vedanta Sutras. And in commenting on this, Madhvacharya says, Jnanandaish Varyadi Pramanadikyangcha. He says that Vishnu is even much more subtle and greater in knowledge even than Lakshmi, knowledge, bliss, therefore he's Mahan. Now this is a very Madhva type of explanation which won't be accepted in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. The Madhvas always want to establish that Vishnu is far, far greater than Lakshmi, whereas the Sri Vaishnavas will say, no, Lakshmi is on the same level, if not in some ways, even greater, especially as it is by her mercy that we can approach Vishnu. So, in that way, especially from our perspective as fallen souls, she's even more important. So this is a point of theological contention between the Madhvas and the Sri Vaishnavas. And we as Gauriyas, we are on the side of the Sri Vaishnavas, except that we emphasize Sri, particularly means Sri Radha, in relation to Krishna. Continuing this theme, Madhvacharya states that the shabda, the word mahat, in its primary sense, can only refer to Vishnu. In the Brahma Sutras, mahadvacha. So, Madhvacharya goes on to explain, commenting on this, mahat must mean Vishnu. Not anyone else. In this regard, I'm going to quote from a talk that Srila Prabhupada gave on April 11th, 1974. Because Srila Prabhupada was addressing the prominent misconception that all living beings can be called Narayana. I'll read what Srila Prabhupada said. Srila Prabhupada said, if you've got such vision that because Narayana is there in everyone's heart, then everyone should be addressed as Narayana. But that should not be. That is not be. That should not be. That is an insult. If some big man, if I equalize him with an insignificant person, that is an insult. In the Shastra it is said, yes, tu narayanam devam brahma rudra adi daivatahi samatvenaiva vikshita sapashandi bhavadruvam. Which means that if one equates even great gods like Brahma and Shiva with Vishnu, such a person is called a Pashandi or Pakandi or someone who is a heretic. It's a wrong, very wrong understanding. We have in the Bhagavatam, in the episode of the description of Nalakuvara and Manigriva, how they were cursed by Narad Muni to become Arjuna trees, and then they were liberated from that situation by baby Krishna. And after that, they prayed to Krishna, and among their prayers are these verses. Tvam eka sarva bhutanam dehasvatmendriyeshvaraha Tvam eva kalo bhagavan Vishnur avyaya ishvaraha Tvam mahan prakriti sukshma raja sattva tamomai Tvam eva purusho dhaksha sarva kshetra vikaravit. You'll see the word mahan is one of the descriptions there. I'll read the translation that's given. Speaking to Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything, the body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self. Again, it's not to be taken that every living entity is directly Krishna, but rather they are the self of Krishna in as much as Krishna is the controller, which the two brothers will continue in. Then, you are the Supreme Person, Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You are the time factor, the immediate cause, and you are material nature, consisting of the three modes, passion, goodness, and ignorance. You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the Supersoul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living entity. So it's very important to remember also always that God is great. Within this world, some people are great. Everyone's better than someone in something, probably. Even the biggest fool, he's better at being foolish than others. Mostly, someone has some ability. Some people can do things better than others. Some people have better memories. Some people are very good at practical work. There may be someone who's not very intellectually inclined, but he's very good at practical, mechanical things. Someone's a good gardener, naturally they have that ability. Naturally means from a previous birth they inherited such abilities, or they were gifted with such abilities. And if one is better than others in something, well, it almost feels natural to feel superior to others. If you're more intelligent than them, or more wealthy than them, or more powerful, or better in doing anything, even in making chapatis for that matter. There was a song, this must be going back, way back to the middle of the previous century. I used to hear it on the radio as a child. Anything you can do, I can do better. Man and a woman singing back and forward at each other, each one trying to say that they're better than the other. That is the materialistic mentality, to try to show oneself to be better than another's. But a devotee of God should always think that he is great, and I might be better at doing something, better than others, better than some others, but that ability is given by him, and it will be taken away by him in course of time. And even if I can do something better than others, my ability to do it in relation to the ability of the Supreme Lord to do it is most insignificant. So a Vaishnava, one of the most prominent characteristics of a Vaishnava, practically, we know from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Trinada Piso Nichena verse, prominent quality of a Vaishnava is that he feels humble. And that's not just an inherent feeling, or it's not like the humility of someone who has to keep a low profile. He may be in a totalitarian state, or he may be very lowly placed in a business establishment, so he has to act humble, otherwise he'll get smashed. But the inherent feeling of humility of a Vaishnava, knowing that God is great, and always being conscious of that, and remembering how small he is in relation to the Supreme Lord. He knows that Krishna is superior. Now, he may say that a Vaishnava, sometimes it might seem that they're always underplaying themselves. And that if someone praises a Vaishnava, you'll say, no, no, no. A real Vaishnava will say, no, 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 I'm nothing. It's all the mercy of my guru, all the mercy of the Vaishnavas, all the mercy of Krishna. If there is anything that you see, actually I'm very fallen, the Vaishnava will say, but he means that. You may say, well, that's the way Vaishnavas talk. But a real Vaishnava really means it. Well, you could say that if someone is the best, it wouldn't be bragging to say so. Just like 1964, Cassius Clay won the Olympic gold medal for boxing in Tokyo. It's going way back. I remember as a child that he would go around saying, I am the greatest, I am the greatest. Which was true in a certain context. So in one sense, he wasn't boasting. Not long after that, he converted to Islam and became known as Muhammad Ali and became the world professional boxing champion. And then he said, no, I'm not the greatest. Allah is the greatest. He was a very good man. He liked our devotees very much. He was a man of God, no doubt. He understood that I'm not the greatest. So you may say, well, if I say I'm better at doing something, I know how to do it, you don't know how to do it. There may be occasion for doing that. If someone's foolishly trying to do something and making a mess of something, and you may tell them, look, I know what to do. You listen to me. So there may be grounds for that. Even a Vaishnava may do that. Here, look, you don't know how to make chapatis? Look, I'll show you. I know, you don't know. You just stop and watch. So there may be grounds for that. But a Vaishnava's humility in knowing that God is great. That is why we have to discuss all these things. You may say, so much talk on one word, Mahan, simply means God is great. Well, everyone knows God is great. At least those who believe in God. It's the basic condition. But we should discuss, just like Srila Prabhupada often said, it is not enough to say that God is great. Of course, it's a very good start. But it's not enough, Srila Prabhupada would say. But we have to know how God is great. That is important to know. A Vaishnava doesn't advertise himself, and he certainly doesn't overplay himself, just like people like to brag and boast of qualities which they don't even have. They may have certain quality, and then they become very proud, and they like to advertise it, or they may even try to show themselves as being better than they actually are. So all these actually foolish tendencies can be overcome by understanding Vishnur Mahan. Vishnu is great, Mahan, that comes in the Brahma Sanghita, doesn't it? Yas yaika nishvisita kala matava lamya jivanti loma vilaja jagadanda nata. Vishnur Mahan seha yasya kala vishesha govinda vadi purusham tamaham vajami. Vishnur Mahan refers to Mahavishnu. It's good to meditate on the meaning of this verse. That with his breathing, during the period of his breathing out, all the mundane universes come into existence. And that, and his breathing in, it comes back in again. And that Mahavishnu is an expanded portion, non-different from in one sense, but another way, an expanded portion, Kala Vishesha. He is an expanded portion for a specific purpose of Krishna, who is the original personality of Godhead. So Krishna, he's so great that even by an expansion of him, he has such a Vishnu Mahan, such a huge form, we cannot even begin to imagine. And the time scale for him, one breathing is the existence of all the universes. So we shouldn't take our temporal existence and our little problems here and there, shouldn't take it too seriously. Sri Radha Krishna Shastri gives another understanding of this name Mahan, or a somewhat nuanced understanding. He is great beyond comprehension. Now this is similar to what we heard from Shankara, but there are different ways of understanding this also. He's beyond comprehension simply by words, thoughts or other means, but he reveals himself, of course. But simply by words, we cannot fully describe him. And he gives the example, Radha Krishna Shastri gives the example, that we have him being described as Anu, just in the previous few names, Anu, smallest of the small, then Brihat, the biggest of the big, Guna Brit, full of qualities, Nirguna, not having qualities. So simply by our intelligence and simply by trying to describe by words alone, we cannot understand him who is unconstrained by form. It's not that he's formless, but he's not constrained in the same way as we are. We now have a particular body with a particular form with many, many constraints. We can only be in one place at one time. And with this human body, I can't fly in the sky like a bird can. Old age and disease and infirmity are imposed on the body. But he's not like that. He can simultaneously be the biggest of the big and the smallest of the small. Our bodies are formed of the material elements and they influence even our consciousness. Just like if in our body, if there's too much air element or it's out of balance, it's called Vayu Dosha in Ayurveda, there will be pain. There can be mental disturbances, but the elements, space, time, do not affect him. Even to say Mahan, he's the greatest of the great. We can say that, but what does it actually mean? Because our vision and our understanding is so limited and so small, we can't even imagine how great he is. Practically, our vision to a large extent is constrained within what's going on in this earth. And the astronomers, they look up into the sky and they see so many things. How far can they see? Maybe they can see things only light years away, but even that is just a fraction in infinite space. So to say that he's great, we can say, how much can we understand? We can't fully understand or describe him. Gunabrit, He has all good qualities. And he, if we see good qualities in others, he gives them. So in every way we try to understand, when we say great, we think in terms of size and power, but in terms of qualities, always, he's the supreme master. He's not just big in size like a mountain, but he's the supreme master of controller of everything. He can do anything and then undo it. Anything that he thinks becomes reality. Parasya shakti vivid haiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. By his icha shakti, by his power of desire, what he desires comes into being. How does he create the universe? Simply by glancing. That's all. Does it in his sleep. Then this meaning, he's worthy of worship and he's worshipped even by great personalities like the demigods, young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Maratus, Tunvanti, Divyai, Stavaihi. At the end of Bhagavatam, or just near the end of Bhagavatam, we have the statement that he is that great personality, he is that God who is praised with divine praises by great gods like Brahma, Varuna, Indra, the Maruts, and Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Lord Shiva, and so on. Krishna Datta Bharadvaj gives the meaning of Mahan. Mahyate pujate brahmadibhi iti mahan. He who is worshipped by Brahma and other great personalities. Great personalities. In Gita, Lord Krishna says worship of demigods is foolish because the results of doing so are limited and temporary. But the position of the demigods is so much above that of human beings. We can't even begin to comprehend how great is Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, as we hear the description as related by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami, although he's certainly so far above other living beings in this universe, in relation to Krishna, he's so insignificant. So we can't even imagine how great Brahma is. And Brahma thought he could imagine how great Krishna is, but he can't. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his explanation, relates us back to the name which we just had two names ago, Gunabrit. Mahan means worshipable, so he's worshipable because Gunabrit. He has such great qualities that he should be worshipped by everyone. Of course, those who are followers of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, those who are in Raja Bhav, the mood of Vrindavan, they will not concentrate on contemplating the greatness of the Supreme Lord, but more his sweetness, beauty, love. But even we find Shukdev Goswami, who is a parrot from Vrindavan, Shuka means parrot, who by the touch of his transcendental intelligence in explicating the message of Bhagavatam made it so much more sweeter. He also describes the greatness of Krishna, and how by Krishna's descent in this world, the effects of that. I'm going to read, this is from the end of the 10th canto, which describes the pastimes of Krishna in great detail, 90th chapter. J- just getting toward the end. Shukdev Goswami said, Tirtham chakre nripo nang yadajane yadu su svasvarit pada sho chang vidvit snigda swarupam yayur ajita parashriya yadarte yatnaha yannama mangalaknam shutam atagaditam yadkrito gotradharmaha krishnas yaitanna chitram shitibharaharanam kala chakrayudhasya. Shukadeva Goswami explains that Ganga, River Ganga, is a great place of pilgrimage. Why? Because her waters wash the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. But when Krishna descended among the Yadus, his glories eclipsed those of the Ganga as a holy place. Those who loved Krishna attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world, and even those who hated Krishna during his appearance in this world, they also attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who is sought after by everyone in this world but is unattainable, she is satisfied in herself, being who she is, but others are dissatisfied because they don't have her favor and they struggle to get her favor. But she's so satisfied because she identifies herself with him only. She belongs to him alone. His name destroys, Krishna's name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. It's he who has set forth the principles of the various disciplic successions of various philosophers and sages. So what wonder is it that he, Shukadev says, whose personal weapon is the wheel of time, relieved the burden of the earth. Now, the purport given to this is very interesting, and I'll read it. Please listen carefully. From beginning to end, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has been exclusively dedicated to reciting the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwaraka. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out, this verse sums up the 10th canto by mentioning five special glories of Sri Krishna that even his expansions, plenary portions, and incarnations do not display. Now we know that among all the Narayan forms, there are the Narayan forms, but Krishna surpasses them, this from Bhaktivrasamrita Sindhu, in four special ways. By the speciality of his wonderful flute playing that charms the worlds, the beauty of his form, the beauty of his form surpasses that even of Narayana in Vaikuntha. The special quality of his pastime and of his associates. But here are another five points that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out. First, Lord Krishna's reputation eclipsed that of the holy Ganga when he descended in the Yadu dynasty. Previous to this, Mother Ganga was the most sacred of all tirthas, being the water that had bathed Lord Vamanadeva's lotus feet. But another river, the Yamuna, became even greater than the Ganga by contacting the dust from Sri Krishna's feet in the districts of Raja and Mathura. And here, Vishnu Chakravarti quotes from Varaha Purana, Ganga Shataguna Prayo Mature Mama Mandale Yamuna Vishuta Devi Natra Karya Vicharana. The renowned Yamuna in my domain of Mathura is hundreds of times greater than the Ganga. Above this there can be no, about this there can be no dispute, O goddess. Second point about Krishna's appearance in this world. Remember, talking about Krishna now. Next point, second point. So yeah, this is Vishnu Sahasranama that we're discussing, but now in discussion of the name Mahan, I'm quoting from Vishnuacharya Thakur to show that Lord Krishna is Mahan, great and even worshipable, even in relation to Vishnu, Narayana in Vaikuntha. Second point, Vishnuacharya Thakur makes. Lord Krishna gave liberation not only to his surrendered devotees, but also to those who considered themselves his enemies. Devotees like the cowherd girls of Raja and others attained his personal association by entering in his eternal pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world, while inimical demons killed by him attained the Sayuja Mukti of merging into his divine form. When he was present on this earth, Lord Krishna's compassion extended to his family, friends and servants, and also to his enemies and their families, friends and servants. Great authorities like Lord Brahma have mentioned this fact, and this is quoted from chapter 14 of the 10th canto, Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna. My Lord, you have already given yourself to Putana and her family members simply because she dressed herself as a devotee. Third point, Vishwanacharya Thakur makes, Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Narayana's constant companion whom great demigods serve menially to win her slight favor, was unable to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotees in Raja. Despite her eagerness to participate in the rasa dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerities she underwent to achieve that end, she could not transcend a natural mode of reverence. The sweetness and intimacy Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. As Sri Uddhava says, and this is a quote from the third canto of Bhagavatam, Yan marcha lilaupayakam svayoga mayabalam darshayata grihitam vismapanam svasya ca sobhagadhe parang padang bhushana bhushanangam. To exhibit the strength of his spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his human-like pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of the wealth of good fortune. Its limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. Fourth, the name of Krishna is superior to the name Narayana and to those of all Lord Krishna's other expansions. These two syllables, Krishna, combine together to destroy all inauspiciousness and illusion. All inauspiciousness and illusion. Tayoraikyam Param Brahma. These two together constitute the highest truth. When recited, the name of Krishna becomes Shutamat. That is to say, the recitation of Krishna's name totally crushes Matnati, the excellence of all other spiritual practices described in the revealed scriptures, Shuta. In the words of the Brahmanda Purana, Sahasra nam nam punyanam trir avritya tuyat palam. I'll start again. Sahasra nam nam punya nam trir avritya tu yat palam eka avritya tu krishnasya namaikam tat payachati. By uttering the single name of Krishna just once, one attains the same benefit as that gained by reciting Lord Vishnu's thousand names three times. Fifth, Lord Krishna solidly reinstated dharma, the bull of religion, on his four legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. Thus, dharma could once again become Gotra, the protector of the earth. Sri Krishna also established the religious function of Govardhana Puja to honor his favorite hill, the cows and the brahmanas. He also became the hill Gotra himself, assuming its form to accept the cowherd's offerings. Moreover, he cultivated the dharma or loving nature of Raja's divine cowherds, Gotras, whose love for him has never been equaled. These are just a few of the wonderful features of Lord Krishna's unique personality. So this analysis could have been read in the name Guna Brit, which just came two names ago, but I thought to read it here under the name Mahan to demonstrate how he is Gunabrit. Yes, everyone's Gunabrit. Everyone has qualities. But Mahan, he has qualities which are so great that they surpass even those of Narayana in Vaikuntha. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhyavaja patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakang padaya nipatya kritva chaka kushatameta daham ravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charne kurutanu ragaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu makaro navayang vichara yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.